Amen. Thank you for that special. I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I hope you know him today. I hope you don't just know about him. I hope you know him. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We've been studying all summer life in the sun and trying to learn about how to live this life here on planet Earth in light of eternity. And when we look at Ecclesiastes, we see Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, arguably the wealthiest man who ever lived, and he tried everything under the sun, that is, everything on this planet without regard to God, and he did it all. He had all the money, all the resources, and he tried it all, and he found that everything without God is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's like trying to find satisfaction is like in the world without God is like trying to grab a hold of the wind. You just can't do it. All it's going to do is give you frustration and emptiness and futility. And that's the kind of life that he lived for a time. And we have this great book of wisdom to help us understand that we need God in our life, and we can have God in our life, and we don't have to live a life of futility. We don't have to live a life of vanity. We don't have to live a life that is vexed in our spirit, but we can live a life that is filled with purpose and meaning and joy forevermore when we live life, not under the sun without God, but life in the sun, life in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to get started today. And if you look at verse 1, we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verses 1 through 8 to get started this morning. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 8. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace today, I thank you so much for all who have gathered to sing your praises and for those who have joined us online. And I pray that you'll help us to worship you in spirit and truth today as we continue to worship you through the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts. If there's one who hears this message who's never been born again, that today would be the day they would repent of their sin, they would turn away from their sin and their unbelief, and they would turn to you in full faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, that they would trust in the finished work of Jesus in his death and resurrection, that today they would call on your name and be saved. Lord, I pray for those who are saved that they would be obedient in baptism, identify with you publicly, and serve you faithfully in the local church. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time together. Give us wisdom and help us to live wisely the days of our sojourning on this earth. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Today we want to learn about the effects of wisdom. And I want you to notice verse 1 again, if you would. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? He says, a man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Wisdom is knowledge applied. It's when you take biblical knowledge and you apply it to your life, when you live it out. That's what the Bible calls wisdom. There are a lot of people who know a lot of things about the Bible. There are a lot of people who are greater Bible scholars than any believer on the planet. They know a lot about the Bible, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ, and they don't live the things that the Bible says. And so they may have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. there is a wisdom that's of the world. I want you to notice this in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And we see there's a couple of different kinds of wisdom in the world today. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now stop there for a second. There's a kind of wisdom that's of the world, and that kind of wisdom is not of God. That kind of wisdom brings envy and strife. That's the kind of wisdom the world has, and it doesn't come from God. As a matter of fact, he says that kind of wisdom is demonic. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish or demonic. And he says envy and strife, that brings confusion, it brings evil work. That's not the kind of wisdom we're learning about today. He goes on in verse 17 and says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's a kind of wisdom that the world has, and it brings envy and strife. There's a kind of wisdom that comes from God. And did you notice that beautiful phrase, without hypocrisy? Man, who doesn't want a church that's without hypocrisy? Who doesn't want a life that's without hypocrisy? Who doesn't want a life that's real and genuine and has peace from God? Well, that kind of peace, that kind of genuineness only comes from the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that comes from God in heaven. And so that kind of wisdom, we go back to Ecclesiastes 8:1, it's the kind of wisdom that'll make your face shine. It's the kind of wisdom that'll change the boldness or the strength of your life. You can have peace that passes understanding. You have strength to face anything that the world, the flesh, and the devil would throw at you. And that comes from the wisdom that only comes from God. I can't help but think about Moses when you think about this face shining. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 28 through 30, we read about it. But Moses was up in the mountain with God, and he communed with God for 40 days and 40 nights. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses didn't have anything to eat. He didn't have anything to drink, but the presence of the holiness of God sustained him that entire time. And that whole time that he was there, he communed with God. And when he came down from the mountain, the Bible says in verse 29, Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. What was it that Moses was doing? Well, he was spending time in the presence of God, and God was giving him the law, which is the knowledge of God, and he was getting the wisdom of God from God himself, and it caused his face to shine. It changed him in a way that was visible to other people. It also made me think of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And we read the rest of that, and Peter gets it wrong a little bit, but the Lord straightens him out. But I want you to notice that when Moses spent time with the Father, his face shone. And when Jesus' glory was revealed, his face shined like the brightness of the sun. And I want you to see today that when we get the wisdom of God, what it comes from is communing with God, spending time with God through his word. And it actually changes us. It changes us from the inside out, but it will literally change the way that you look. It'll literally change the strength, the boldness that you have going forward in life. When he talks about the boldness of your faith, he's talking about the strength that you have, the confidence that you have in moving forward in life. It'll just change the way that you live because you have wisdom from on high. You know things that God has revealed to you from his word, and it changes everything. I want to talk to you about the effects of wisdom today, but first, let me clear a couple of things up. Wisdom will not guarantee that you'll have better circumstances on the earth. Wisdom will not guarantee better circumstances. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, Solomon says, "Then I said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which is now is in the days to come shall be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool?" Listen, wisdom is going to help you in a lot of ways. It's going to have some great positive effects on your life, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to change your circumstances. It doesn't necessarily mean your circumstances are going to be better. Listen, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, when he looked at the world, he said, you know what? Good things happen to wise people, but good things happen to foolish people too. And then he looked and he said, you know, bad things happen to wise people, and bad things happen to foolish people too. See, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to change your circumstances, but I promise you, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. He says wisdom is better than light. He said wisdom is better than foolishness as much as light excelleth darkness. I want to tell you something else wisdom can't do by itself. Wisdom can't make you a just person. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, we studied last week, said, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." There's only one thing that can take away your sins. Now, wisdom can lead you to that, but wisdom can't give you that. You remember what Paul told Timothy? He said, "Remember the scriptures that are wise, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Wisdom by itself cannot save you. Wisdom by itself cannot take away your sins. Wisdom by itself can't do that. But what wisdom can do is bring you to Christ. Wisdom will bring you to Jesus. Wisdom will bring you to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wisdom will make you wise unto salvation. Wisdom won't let you know everything. We're going to see this at the end of the chapter, but look, jump ahead just a little bit. Skip ahead to verses 16 and 17. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 16 and 17. Solomon said, "When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night sleepeth with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it." Even the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, and I know that, right? Because God said, "I'm going to give you wisdom like nobody ever had before you and nobody will ever have after you." Nobody ever had more wisdom than Solomon. And he said, "Listen, I have searched, I have given, devoted my life to finding out the way the world works, and I don't know everything." He talks about in verse 16, the man who doesn't sleep day or night with his eyes. Now, a lot of people think he's talking about himself, that he was just so wired up mentally, that he was so wired up, so charged up that he didn't sleep. He's just one of those people, just always had to be busy, always had to be studying something, always had to be searching something out, always had to be. But, you know, everybody has to sleep sometime, right? Sooner or later, you're going to hit that wall, or you'll hit the floor, one or the other. Sooner or later, you're going to come to the end of yourself. You're going to run out. But I think that there's an acknowledgement here to God. When he says there also is that neither day nor night sleepeth with his eyes, you know God never sleeps. And while you're trying to figure out how the world works, while you're trying to understand the mysteries of our existence, while you're trying to figure out why things happen the way that they do, while you're trying to figure out the knowledge and understanding of all the things going on in the world, sooner or later you got to sleep. And you know what happens while you're asleep? God's still keeping it all going. He's still keeping the planets are still spinning. They're still in their orbits. The world is still going round and round. All the little molecules and atoms inside your body are still doing their thing even while you're asleep. Because God holds everything together by the word of his power, and he never sleeps. Wisdom can do a lot of things, but you'll not know everything. That's reserved for God alone. Wisdom can do this, though. Wisdom can help you live well with an eternal perspective. If you go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2, he says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Now, Israel had a king because they demanded to have a king. God wanted to be their king, but they wanted their own king so they could be like the other nations of the world. And God gave them exactly what they wanted. By the way, be careful what you ask for, because God might just give it to you. A king wasn't what was best for Israel. God being their king was what was best for Israel, but God gave them what they asked for. Hey, when the elections come up, I plead with you, I beg you to pray and vote biblically. Because if we're not careful, God will give us what our nation asks for. Hey, we need to be careful. You be careful what you wish for, be careful what you ask for. But God had given them a king. And we remember Saul, who was tall, he was heads and shoulders above the rest. But he disobeyed God. He put himself in the place of a priest, and God ripped the kingdom away from it and gave the kingdom to a man that was after his own heart in David. And David was a good king, but he was a hard king. And that's exactly what he told him. Listen, you get a king, he's gonna take what you work for. He's going to take your sons, and he's going to put them in the army, and he's gonna do those things. And David was a hard king, and Solomon was a hard king too. Solomon was hard, and he exacted a lot of the people because there was a lot that he wanted to do. Remember, he was trying everything under the sun, and somebody had to pay for that. Everybody with me right now? Hey, the United States, as a side note, America wants a lot of things. Americans want a lot of things. They want a lot of things for free. Somebody's got to pay for that. Was that too political for you? Y'all getting upset today? Hey, that's not politics. That's just common sense. Right? Salvation's free, right? Yeah, it's free to you, but Jesus had to pay for it. The price always has to be paid. And so David was the king. Solomon was the king. And now Solomon's telling the people it's good to obey the king. That's what I'd say if I was king too. Right? What's the principle for us? Well, the principle for us is that God has established earthly governments. God has made some establishments on this planet. The first thing he established was the family. The family. And we need to do family the way God established it. The second thing God established was earthly governments. And we need to be obedient to the laws of the land unless those laws are contrary to the word of God. Buddy, with me? Listen, you ought to be subject unto the powers that be. God has ordained them. He's given us government to give us a quiet and peaceable life. And we need to follow the laws of the land unless those laws are contrary to the word of God. Let me give you an example. Let's see if I can come up with something out of thin air, okay? You ready? We ought to obey the laws of the land unless those laws are contrary to the word of God. So let's say that the law of the land says that we cannot legally meet together to worship. But God called us to assemble together to worship. So now the law has gone outside of the scriptures. It's contrary to the word of God. And we ought to gather together to worship in obedience to Jesus Christ rather than not gather in worship in obedience to the law of the land. Let me give you another example. God's called us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. We ought to boldly go and speak the truth in love. We ought to warn our neighbors outside of these walls of the judgment to come. We ought to tell them of Jesus who loves them, who died for them. And we ought to go boldly and preach the gospel to those around. And if the law says you can't preach the gospel, we should preach the gospel anyway. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
We could go on, but it's important for us to know the distinction that when the laws of the land become contrary to the truth of the Scriptures, we ought to obey God rather than men. When Peter and John were beaten and the Pharisees don't preach Jesus anymore, they went right back out and preached again. And when they arrested them, they said, "Didn't we tell you not to preach anymore in his name?" And they said, "Hey, you judge for yourselves, but we're going to do what God said. We're going to do what God said." So, with that understanding that unless it's contrary to the word of God, we obey the laws of the land. "I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment," and that in regard to the oath of God. Why do we need to keep the commandments? Well, for a lot of things, but we need to keep those commandments, and we need to do it with the mind that we are not serving men, but we are serving God. Check out Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. When we have wisdom, we can learn to live well with an eternal perspective. And that eternal perspective starts that we're not living for keeping the laws of the land just because, but we're keeping the laws of the land. We're doing what's right in regard to the oath of God. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We need to do what's right in this life today, not just because it's the right thing to do. We don't just do good for goodness sake. We do what's right because ultimately we're not serving people. We're not living under governmental authority. Ultimately, we're living under God's authority. And whatever you do, now listen, in your daily life, whatever you do at school or at work, you do your best, not because of your boss, not because of your teacher, but because you serve Jesus. I would have done well to have learned that better when I was in school. Anybody else do the bare minimum? Like just whatever you had to do to get by? Can I see some honest hands today? How many of you did less than enough to get by? Okay, there we go. Yeah, anybody that tried hard, we called those overachievers. Anybody that like actually put any effort in, those, oh, he's an overachiever, she's an overachiever. I want to tell you, that's not a right perspective for the child of God. You ought to do your best, your very best, and you do your very best, not for your teacher, not for your boss, but for the Lord. Keep the king's commandment. He says in verse 3, "Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him." The king's in charge, he's the boss. And don't be hasty to go out of his sight. Just apply this to anybody that's in authority. Hey, parents, when your kids get really quiet and you're not sure where they're at, as a dad, I rejoice in that. But my wife is always concerned. Like, as long as the kids are making noise and you kind of have an idea where they're at, you go, they're probably not in too much trouble. But then when they get quiet and they disappear, you know something's up. Amen? Yeah, people aren't any different. People aren't any different. I know some of you. You know where the highway patrols sit on the interstate? Where they're at? You get up to that spot, you check that speed, you throttle down. So you get past that place where you know the police sit. Right? What are you doing? You're trying to get out of their sight. It's the same thing we did when we were kids. But I want to help you out. There's a God in heaven who always sees. Always sees. Now listen, if you want to speed on the interstate, that's between you and the Lord and whatever police officer catches you. Right? That's between you and the Lord and whoever catches you. But I want to tell you that there's a lot of things in our hearts and minds that God is watching. And if we want to live well, we need to remember. Don't be hasty to go out of his sight. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. Stand not in an evil thing. When you find yourself in a bad place with bad things going on, get out of that place. Don't stay there. Get out. Because God's going to do what God wants to do. The king's going to do what the king wants to do. God has not given our authorities on this planet power in vain. He's given them authority to execute justice and judgment. Where the word of the king is, there is power, there is authority, he says in verse 4. In verse 5, he says, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." When you keep the commandment, you don't get in trouble. This is a really hard thing. I want you to stay with me. Everybody with me right now? If you don't want to get in trouble with the law, don't break the law. I saw, you know, you can get a lot of wisdom on Facebook and YouTube. But this is the kind of wisdom the world needs today. I saw a video just a couple of weeks ago in relation to all of the just the uproar in our country about police violence and riots and everybody on these other sides and all those things. And there was just a very wise young black man who made a video, and he said, "Listen, if you don't want to be in trouble with the law, don't break the law." And I thought, man, that is deep. That's deep stuff. Like, that's something that our country today does not understand. Listen, I don't speed too much. Why? Because I don't want to have to pay a ticket. Now, some of you crazy people drive 15, 20 over all the time and you never get caught. Your day's coming. Go ahead, gloat, because it's coming. One day they're going to get you. And it's going to be the one guy you don't know, right? But me, if I speed, they always catch me. Always catch me. And they don't have a lot of grace for some of us. I'm doing it wrong. Okay. What's the deal? If you don't want to pay the fine, if you don't want to get in trouble with the law, then obey the law. Wisdom. Whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. You do what's right and you're not going to get in trouble. Verse 7 says, "He knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be?" Listen, you don't know what's coming, but God does. So we need to live well today. Wisdom will help you live well today because it will give you an eternal perspective. There's a God in heaven. Judgment day's coming. And you don't know what's coming tomorrow. But you can walk with one who does. Next, not only will it help us to live well with an eternal perspective, wisdom will help us live with hope in the fear of God. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, "All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God." You can live well with an eternal perspective. You can also live with hope when you live in the fear of God. Back at verse 9, he says, "There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt." And he says, "I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done." I want you to get this. They had come and gone from the place of the holy. This is in reference to the temple where the Jews came to worship. He says, "I saw wicked people who came to the place of the holy, wicked, but then they left there wicked too. And they died and they were buried and they were forgotten." Just because you come to church doesn't make you holy. Just because you come to church doesn't make you righteous. And it's a vain thing to come and to give lip service to God when you haven't trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this today, that going through the motions, being religious, even living right in the world today does not make you right eternally. There must come a time in your life when you have personally repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says this is a vain thing when they come wicked and they go home wicked. They're going to die one day. The only way you and I could be made right is to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way we do that is by faith. I got the opportunity to talk to a young man this week and try to share the gospel with him. And he belongs to a different type of church. And he's trusting, ultimately, if you get to the bottom of it, he's trusting in his good works to get him to heaven. He said, I believe that you got to do the right things, and if you do those right things, then you can earn, he literally said this, you can earn God's grace. You can earn God's grace. I want to explain grace to you, just like I did that young man. Grace literally means unmerited favor. Unmerited. Does anybody here know what a merit badge is? Anybody know what that is? See, when I was a young man, I was what you call a Boy Scout. Actually, I was a Cub Scout. Never made it to Boy Scouts. When I was in Cub Scouts, we had these things called merit badges. Do you know what that is? Those are badges that you had this really cool sash. I mean, it was cool. But we had this sash, and when you did things, you earned badges. Did you hear me? You earned badges. You learn how to tie certain knots, and you get your rope, your knot tying merit badge. Everybody with me right now? You had to do something to earn it. You know what that's not? That's not grace. That's not grace. Hey, those scouts, man, they didn't play around back in my day. You had to earn it. You had to do it. There was no grace there. You had to earn it if you wanted that badge. That's not grace. Grace is unmerited favor. And you cannot earn God's grace. It's freely given. That's why it's grace. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. So the only way we get grace is by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have to turn away from our sin. We have to put our faith in Jesus. We have to trust in Him. It's by grace, through faith, that you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Blew his mind. Blew his mind to say, wait a minute, you can't earn God's favor. No, no, no. Salvation is a free gift. He said, well, I just feel like that you ought to do the right things. You ought to live the right way. And I said, I agree with you, absolutely. He said, well, maybe I see it more as not a way to earn salvation, but I see it more as an act of worship. And I said, that's it. You can't earn salvation by doing good works, but when you are saved by the free gift of God, then when you live for Him, when you do what's right, you do it as an act of worship. You do it not to earn salvation, but to give thanks for salvation, to rejoice in what God's done for you. Live well with an eternal perspective. Live with hope in the fear of God. It's a crazy thing in the world today. He says in verse 11, sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We look at our society today, we see a lot of things that are done wrong, and people continue to do wrong because they don't get in trouble for the wrong that they've already done. And so they're emboldened to continue in sin. But notice what he says in verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Listen, you may get away with doing bad for a while, but in the end, it's not going to be well. But when you fear God today, it's going to bring you to a place of repentance. And it may be bad for you now, but it will be well in the last days. Everybody remember Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus? Man, the rich man had it good here, didn't he? But he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You look at Lazarus the beggar who had it terrible here. He had a terrible year. He didn't have anything. He was begging for bread. He had sores all over him. He had a really bad year. But it was well with him in the end. Why? Because of the fear of God, it brought him to a place of faith in God. Live well with an eternal perspective. Live in the hope. Live with hope in the fear of God. And lastly, can I say, live with joy in the blessings of God. Live with joy in the blessings of God and trust in his sovereignty. Look at verse 14. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a good person and it seems like all the bad stuff that should happen to wicked people happens to the person that's doing good? Have you ever heard or said, no good deed goes unpunished? You ever felt like that? Like, I just look at the world and it seems upside down. People are trying to do good, things just keep going bad for them, and these people who are doing bad, things just keep going better and better for them. And Solomon looks at it and he says, that's crazy. That's vanity. That's messed up. And we look at the world today and we say the same thing. That's backwards. That's messed up. But can I remind you today, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a sin-cursed world, and things aren't always going to make sense. But we got to keep that eternal perspective, because it's not about the here and now, it's about the forever. Look at verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. You remember in the New Testament, a certain Jesus gives a parable in Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. Jesus says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You remember that? Remember? Solomon says, looking at people on the earth, he says, you got nothing better to do than to eat, drink, and be merry. You better enjoy what you have now. Why? Because judgment day is coming. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, when we live with wisdom, we live with an eternal perspective. It will give you the ability to enjoy the blessings that God gives you now. But you get to enjoy the blessings that God gives you now because you know this isn't it. It gets better. It gets infinitely better. It gets unimaginably better. And it gets infinitely and unimaginably better forever and ever. Verse 16 and 17. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night sleepeth with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You're not going to know everything, but you can know everything you need to know. Do you hear that? You can't know everything, but you can know everything you need to know. When you have an eternal perspective, when you have the wisdom of God, you can live well when you get that eternal perspective. And you can live with hope because you have the fear of God and it brings you to repentance. You can live with joy in the blessings of God because you're trusting in his sovereignty. One of the greatest truths I've learned in the last 10 years or so is this: nothing gets to you without going through God first. If you're a child of God, it has to go through God to get to you. That means it's Father filtered. And if it got to you, then God knew it was going to get to you, and that means it's for your good and for his glory. And you may not understand why, and it may be really, really hard, and you may think you can't handle it, but I promise you, if it got to you, it had to go through God to get to you. And there's a purpose. And when you have that understanding, you can trust in God's sovereignty, you can grow in wisdom. You can grow in wisdom. I want to ask you to look at one more verse with me as we draw to a close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I want you to get this. You remember what we started with in Ecclesiastes 8:1? When you're wise, wisdom makes your face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. How do we get that? How do we get that wisdom? How do we get that wisdom that'll help us to live with joy and with hope and with purpose? How do we get that wisdom that will allow us to enjoy the blessings of God now and anticipate the blessings of eternity? How do we live with that kind of wisdom, with that kind of love, with that kind of joy? 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to get this. The Bible refers to itself as a glass. That word glass there means a mirror. When you look into the mirror of the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, what you'll see when you look into this book is you'll see Jesus. And you'll see his glory. And the longer you look in this book and you see the glory of Jesus, his glory is going to shine on your face. His glory is going to change you from his glory is going to transfer to you. His glory is going to show up in your life. If you want wisdom, you can only get it from this book. And the only way that you can get the wisdom from this book into your life is through time. It's through time. You ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? It's like literally true, right? Like the cells that are in your body have to come from somewhere. It comes from what you put into your body. You know, spiritually, it's no different. When you take in the knowledge of the Holy, when you take in the wisdom of the glory of Jesus Christ, you put that in you, it's going to change you. It's going to make you more like him. It's going to make your face shine. It's going to make your face shine, and it's going to give you boldness as you go through this life to live for him. Don't you want that kind of wisdom? Don't you want that kind of boldness? Don't you want to be more like Jesus? We've got to get his wisdom, and we've got to get it by spending time in his word. I want to ask our musicians to come, and while they're coming, will you stand with me? This kind of wisdom and glory is available to every person who would believe in Jesus. But I want to be honest with you today. I just want you to think about it for a second. How many people, have you ever known anybody in your life that had that kind of glow about them because they spent so much time with Jesus? Have you ever known anybody like that? I mean, you just, when you got around them, you could just feel it. You could almost just feel the warmth of the Spirit in them and the wisdom that they had and the joy that they had and the love of God that they had. It was infectious. It was something that it warmed up your heart to be around them. You know, I've known a lot of Christians in my life, but I can honestly say I've only known a handful who were like that. Is that true? My brethren, it ought not to be so. The reality is that ought to be a description of every single one of us. That we spend so much time with him that it just shows on our face. That we have that thing that when people get around us, they say, man, I want that. What is it? Well, it's not us at all, is it? It's his Spirit. It's his wisdom. It's his love. It's his joy. It's his peace. It's his Spirit that's shining forth in our life. It's available to you. But it's only available if you come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never been born again, I plead with you right now that today you would pray and ask God to forgive your sin. Today you would pray and put your faith in Jesus Christ, that you would ask him to be your Savior. If you've been saved, I implore you to follow him in baptism and serve him faithfully in the local church. If there's anything in your heart today, any unconfessed, any unrepented sin, friends, this time of invitation is a time to do business with God, to be real, as he's convicted your heart. Things you need to do better, things you need to stop doing, whatever it is. If his Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, you respond in faith and obedience today while we sing.